I think that art can, it just does something for people, and you can't have control over how somebody feels when they look at a painting or any piece of art, whatever it is. And it can really move somebody in a way that is often really unexpected to me when somebody looks at a piece, and they usually the title is what they might engage with, and then the piece and the whole thing comes together for them in a way that I couldn't predict.
Faith at the Fringe, a Sanctuary First podcast series. Uncovering God in the creative arts. At the biggest international arts festival in the world, Sanctuary First stops to ask, where does faith in art meet?
Welcome everybody to Faith at the Fringe podcast episode 10 for 2024. Laura, you are back with us.
Back again, yes. And I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah.
Very excited.
Yeah, we're in double digits.
Yes.
Episode number 10, where we are exploring Faith at the Fringe. What is or how does art bridge the gap between church and community? If there is a gap to be bridged, how are we doing it? How are we involved with it? How does our faith inspire our creativity? What's the interweaving with it all? And Laura, for this episode, we have taken a little bit step wider,
yes,
from the Edinburgh International Festival and Fringe, haven't we?
Yes, we have. We are moving out to the fringes.
Mm-hmm. Still within art and culture.
Still within art and culture.
Still exploring faith.
But moving it a bit wider, which is, you know, I think that's great, because actually it gives us then scope to go wider still and keep this going.
Yeah, I like what you did there. I like that. So with us, as we widen our scope, we have the wonderful Linda Hoskins with us. Hi, Linda.
Hello.
So Linda is a fine artist based in Edinburgh, but you've also been involved, your hands have been involved with a video, and your voice, yeah, actually, for Sanctuary First, on a video about the Father's Hands, in the Father's Hands, all about artistry and God being the artist. And it was an absolutely beautiful video. So we were really amazed with that, loved it, ministered to so many people. And we thought, we'd love to hear some more from you about you and your faith and your creativity and your art. And so here you are.
Here I am. Thanks for asking.
So I mentioned that you're a fine artist.
Yep.
For someone that is coming from a background with zero art education.
Right.
The closest I'll get to art education is the MA in arts, and that wasn't actually art at all. How can you explain that to me, please? Yeah. Can you explain it for us?
Well, yeah, I was telling my son actually that I'm described as a fine artist, and he went, "That's terrible. You're really great." So I guess it's summed up more in painting. So I graduated as a printmaker, but now I focus primarily on painting, and drawing would come under that. So there, at art school, it splits into design and fine art, and then various subjects fall under each category.
Okay, so you're in the print, no, you were in printing.
I did do printmaking, yes, but no, now I do primarily painting. Yeah.
Painting, so is it our particular, is it watercolors, is it oil, is it everything?
I use a bit of a mix, so mostly water-based oil, acrylic, pencil. Yep.
Okay. I'm getting a good idea about what a fine artist does. Hope you do as well, folks at home. In addition to the video, obviously, that we've already mentioned, but where else might people have seen your work? Because I know you've got an online place, Linda Hoskins Art.
Yes.
You've had some exhibitions as well, though, haven't you?
So my latest exhibition was in George Street in Edinburgh at the Virgin Bank, which was the first time they tried that. And before, so that was really my first solo exhibition under the name of Linda Hoskins. I've done a few exhibitions before when we lived in Aberdeen years ago, another life. But yeah, it's quite different now. So mostly a lot of my work is online based at the moment.
And the exhibition that you did in George Street, it was in Virgin Money store, wasn't yeah. it? So did that have a particular theme?
Yes, so it was called Illuminate. So lots of my work deals around the issue of dark and light, loosely. Some might see that, some might not see that. But so that was what that exhibition was called, and just really just about hope, and a lot of how I title my work comes through in that way, as well as the colour, the texture. Yeah.
So in that exhibition then, I'm sorry, Laura, I'm just really curious. What actually, when you're talking about light and hope and the themes and things, what did that actually look like? What does it look like to give a painting of hope? What, you know, what, if I had walked in, what would I have seen?
So it looked different on two occasions. So it had an opening night, and on that occasion, we took over the whole Money store because they had no customers. So it was all out on the floor. People could walk around it, and there was more of there was a lot of space, so people could take it and soak it in. It changed a lot once it was open during the day and they had customers. So I was more in one room, which was a bit different. But what it looks like to me and what it looks like to you is probably completely different, because I made it, so I see it really differently. But I think the thing that stood out to me the most of that exhibition was how much people said they could feel it. Mm. So people, especially people who've maybe followed me online for a while and then said, oh, well, when you see them in real life, you can really feel something. Like, because they're quite big pieces, a lot of what I do. Usually a meter by a meter. And I do smaller ones as well, but I much prefer working big. So
yeah, because it's very textured as well, isn't it? Because I've seen the work online, and the use of colour is it's so beautiful, and I can see where you're coming from with the, you know, with the illuminate, you know, because it is, you know, you've got the light in the dark. But what really struck me was the texture, how textured it is as well. Because that's is there. And I was wondering, actually, what is there things from, what is it that inspires you, for pieces? Is it, a theme, or is it, something you've seen, or is it colours, or,
I get asked that question a lot. So loads of them are seascape-inspired. I think a lot of people can tell that straight away, or landscape-inspired. But I work more with what the materials are doing on the canvas, and they move differently. So if somebody was to say, can you paint me one like that again, I always say no, because I just can't do the same twice. Sometimes I have a title in my head when I start, and sometimes I don't till the end, and that can inspire how I'm working as I paint it. So I find that quite a difficult question, because it really just comes down to how I'm working at the time. And I never paint a scene. So if you're looking for an artist who paints a specific scene, then there are many who do that very well, but I am not that artist.
It sounds like when you are painting that there's a message that you're hoping to convey through your work. Am I picking you up?
I think that's fair, yeah. That's fair to say. I think that art can, it just does something for people, and you can't have control over how somebody feels when they look at a painting or any piece of art, whatever it is, and it can really move somebody in a way that is often really unexpected to me. When somebody looks at a piece, and they usually the title is what they might engage with, and then the piece and the whole thing comes together for them in a way that I couldn't predict, or but it's quite special to see, actually. And a privilege to be part of that for somebody.
Yeah, so you're a Christian, and so do you feel, now I know whenever I write, I sometimes feel that it's not me that's writing, you know, it's the Lord, it's definitely the Holy Spirit that is at work, because sometimes I'll go, I don't even know where that came from, you know, it's like, and you're like, that's actually really good, and I don't know how I've done that, but do you feel that actually the Holy Spirit is really working through you? In your work?
Yeah, massively. And that's not something I take for granted. But there's times I'll finish a piece, look back, exactly what you just said, and think, I don't really know how that came together. Particularly around the titles. So I could name something in a throwaway minute and it completely speaks life into somebody that I would never have expected. And that is definitely a Holy Spirit thing that I've seen happen. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say yes.
You seem actually as well, like, because, you know, you get some artists that are, you know, and I would imagine maybe ones who don't have a faith, you know, and they can get, you know, right, quite caught up in it, and it's like a kind of control thing, you know, where you seem very, like, you know, more fluid to the space and the medium, you know, that you're using, and also actually wherever the Holy Spirit's going to go. Is it a relaxing, like, experience? Is it like, now I say this because most people, whenever we I had showed your video with in the Father's hands to my church, and they all thought it was very meditative.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you find producing your work meditative, or is it more controlled?
No, it is much more meditative. I would agree with that. So I have a little studio, a little shed in my garden, and I'm pretty intentional when I'm in there. I start everything I do just by praying and surrendering it, and the type of music I listen to depends on the outcome. I try not be pretentious around art. I think it can carry that in the art world. And I think the nature of creative people is we're all quite sensitive by nature and therefore a bit guarded in some ways, and that when not honed in the best way can come out with a sense of control and protectiveness. And yeah, that can be a battle. I'm not going to lie, that can be a battle. But I would say I've learned much more just to hold things lightly and, yeah.
So you were already saying that you're aware of the Holy Spirit working through you. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to find out a little bit more about how your faith inspires your art. And because you don't create art just to remain hanging on a wall, do you? There's a purpose.
Yeah.
To bless others with it as well, beyond the artist.
Yeah.
So just, do you want to talk a little bit about that? And then also about that, how your faith inspires that creativity?
Yeah. So when I first set up in my own business, it's fair to say there was no grand vision and no grand plan. It was one foot in front of the other. And so the first painting that I sold, I had put on it that I would donate half of it to a charity called SOTIS, which are Survivors of Human Trafficking in Scotland. And it sold. And so I thought, I'll do it again. And then it snowballed into a much bigger project. And so after, I think maybe it was about, 6 months plus, SOTIS were very kind and came to me and said, it would be lovely if this was sustainable. But we're aware that 50% maybe isn't sustainable long term, which I was grateful for, because by this point it had become more of a business for me. So we put it down to 10%. And then I continued to support them for 3 years. And we raised £10,000 for them. And so now I support the charity Anne Hope House, which Bethany Christian Trust run in Edinburgh. So it turns out I've learned loads by making loads of mistakes, but so it turns out it's super legally complicated to support charity if you are publicising it. So I thought that maybe I could do a couple of charities. You can't legally do that. So okay. I've learned a lot. So yeah, so now it's one charity at a time. So currently it's Anne Hope House.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And why did you get involved with those charities in particular? I mean, did you have an interest with human trafficking before starting your own business?
Yes. So I learned a lot about human trafficking through SOTIS. The director of SOTIS I used to work for in Aberdeen, so we had a friendship, and at that point there was a natural connection. As time went on, my husband ended up working for them, and so we learned loads more about trafficking mm-hmm. and the injustice of it, and in some ways it's a scary world to open up to yourself, because you then see
yes.
So yeah, that was the connection with them. The connection with Anne Hope House, I had been part of a volunteer team that worked with some of the sex workers in Edinburgh, and we had ended up getting close to one of the girls there. Oh, she wasn't a girl, she was the same age as me, and she'd reached out for help, and we walked this really long and hard journey for her, and we'd hoped that Anne Hope House might be the next step for her. And the situation meant it reached just a sad end, and she ended up losing her life. And so it seemed appropriate that they were the next choice, you know, because her story can just help other women who go there. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And is there, in the future, would you like to continue, with your passion actually for social justice, would you like to keep using that within your art and in your business?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been a success because people love nice things, but people also really like to help uh-huh. people, and the two just merge well, you know, and it starts conversations. And so the very basic line of it is, have a painting on your wall, and whatever charity you have then supported by buying that, it comes up in conversation. And so mm-hmm. The name of that charity might spread, or the work that they do. And I suppose I'm somebody who's driven more by purpose than I am goals. So, you know, that everyone's different, but a lot of people like a list of goals. That doesn't really work for me. So mm-hmm. I think where art can be used to do something bigger than the outcome itself, then that works for me. So
yeah,
it's quite fascinating and wonderful to hear how you are taking the gift, this God-given gift that you have with art, and being able to see it improve the lives of others in quite an unusual way, in this respect of the, you know, you sell it and the proceeds are with charity. And I love it because it's really creative, and you think there's so many different ways that we can use our gifts and the talents that we've got mm-hmm. and to help other people. Because a lot of the time we think, like in the traditional sense, that, you know, you were saying that you were volunteering with the Anne Hope House previously as well. And that might be our default way of thinking of how we could possibly help people. But actually what you're saying is, and what you're showing and what you're doing, there's lots of different ways of being able to help.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm. And I think people can be overwhelmed. You just need to put the news on and be overwhelmed by the amount of injustice that there is, and it's easy to switch off from it, especially so around the issue of trafficking. You know, when mm-hmm. I was supporting SOTIS, even talking about trafficking on my page, people had a few reactions. One is completely denial, like that really doesn't happen here where we live, or just completely overwhelmed of thinking, well, what can I do, because that's so big. And so for some people, buying a painting, at least you've done something.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's shocking to know that human trafficking is in Scotland. Do you know? And it is. It's not as though we're immune to it. It is in all our major cities.
Yeah, we contribute daily.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so it's really heartwarming is too soft a term, but it's kind of the right thing that's coming to mind at the moment in terms of hearing how you are helping others help SOTIS, you know, well it was SOTIS at the mm-hmm. time, now Anne Hope House, by giving them that artwork mm-hmm. to purchase and to support with it as well. And what I'm wondering is, you know, this drive that you've got to help others, is that from your faith? Or is it from some, you know, do you attribute it to your faith?
That was my question.
That was your question. Oh, sorry, Laura.
No, I'm really keen to know.
Yeah. That's an interesting question. I think it's just who I am. Mm. I mean, yeah, my faith. My faith is so ingrained and so weaved through my whole life that I can't really imagine doing it any other way. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm wired like that because I see other situations or other other things that people how people might be, and it just doesn't make sense to me. So I almost feel a bit alien sometimes in how I might approach things or think of things. Yeah, I guess I genuinely really care about people too. And I think there is so much hope on offer. And if I can be even a tiny bit part of that, then...
I know it's that integrity, isn't it? It's like having your faith, you know, go through all your life. And I think it's... do you think it's easier because you've got your own business to do this? Because I know that for some people, you know, they would really love... you know, to be able to be like doing more, so to speak. But, you know, you're like, well, I've got this job and like actually, you know, that it's you know, you can't talk about your faith or you know, you've got to do these things. And you know, do you think it's easier because, you know, it's your own business, so it's your values that flow sure. through it?
Yeah, I think there's an element of that. This was never the plan. So certainly when I stepped out of the job that I did have, it was not with the intent to do what I'm doing now.
Uh-huh.
But it was sitting with this, I don't even know what you would call it, almost like a holy longing of, I know that there's something else within that and that this job is not me.
Mm-hmm.
And so stepping out of that, and then, like I say, bit by bit, no grand plan, no grand vision to end up talking to you guys here today, like mm-hmm. just bit by bit, God did something with it. And it was a huge act of surrender, huge step of faith, loads of fear, loads of difficult bits along the way, loads of absolute amazement at what God does with something that you lay before him. And genuine gratefulness to people who bought work, because without that, I mean, it's just a complete fail. So, mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yeah, it's so true. Without God, it just didn't people to buy it. Yeah, I get that. But the business side of it, and what I'm hearing really clearly from you, Linda, is that faith is Jesus is your source of inspiration mm-hmm. and your creativity. And you know, you've talked about hope, that theme of hope that's mm-hmm. coming through, and whether that's how people perceive or what they see and or feel, mm-hmm. you were mentioning that as mm-hmm. well from your artwork, or whether it's actually being able to financially support the charities. Mm-hmm. You're certainly, that's what I'm hearing from you, which is just great. And I'm just thinking, if we were to take that step kind of back a little, and we're looking at the community, a cultural community, you know, you're in it, you're immersed in the art world. How is it for you as a person of faith? How is it immersed in mm-hmm. this world of art,
in the kind of secular world, you mean?
Yeah.
It's a hard line to toe. I find it a hard line to toe, so because I have no interest in being in the secular world of art. There is an incredible things that people are doing, but that's never really what my heart or focus has been. However, there's also this bit of sometimes in the secular world, people look at my art and are just as moved as a Christian. I've actually almost come to find it amusing, because people can look at it and burst into tears. And at first I would think, gosh, a bit extreme, it's just painting, and now I know people feel something of the Holy Spirit that's not of me, and I think, oh, that's interesting, God must be working in that person's life. And so there are doors there that you can push open a little bit and chat a little bit with people, and that's amazing through a painting to have that opportunity, do you know. But
do you have like a this sound a bit mad, right? But do you have like a Christian collective, you know, like a group of like other Christian artists that support each other?
I believe there are those out there, so I'm not part of that. not through any purposeful choice, but I do have a few other creatives in my circle who who don't do painting but do other things, mm-hmm. who have that same heart, I think, is and the same, I don't know, want to walk life differently. Well, my husband would be one of them. He does photography and as well as other jobs that he does. So we do have these like deep conversations that probably other people might not have, depending on what their job is at the end of the day. But mm-hmm. yeah, so coming back to the point of the secular world, I think it is a hard line to toe. And I do have some work, actually. I said I didn't have anything exhibiting, but I do at a little studio in Curry in Edinburgh called Pam Milan Studio. She's lovely. And she's given me this opportunity to put up work there. And I like hearing the feedback from her, you know, and what people think of the work. That's not a Christian space, but it's an open space for all sorts of people who she allows to come in and use that space. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, so you're presenting the gospel, in one sense, hope, that message of hope,
right.
In artist studios. You had it in Virgin Money Store.
Yeah.
You know, I can't imagine many people being able to take the message of Jesus into a Virgin Money Store the way that you've been able to do with your artwork, yeah. which is incredible. It's absolutely amazing. What's coming next? Have you got somewhere else that's coming up soonish?
No, like I wish I could sit here and say I have this grand plan, but I have another sense that something new on the horizon, don't know what that is. Have an exhibition booked in a year in advance at Scottish Parliament. But other than that, no.
Well, that's a pretty biggie. That's quite a big one, an exhibition at the Scottish Parliament.
Yeah.
Is that going to be for everybody?
No, that's just for MSPs only. But yeah, a lovely opportunity to take the work there. And Anne Hope House, somebody from Anne Hope House will come as well. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that will highlight the work that they're doing and maybe they can gain some contacts out of that. So, yeah.
So for me, listening to this, I'm kind of going, this is incredible that here's this message, this gospel of hope going out, good news of hope going out into places that, you know, typically we might not think about the gospel going into, you know. I'm really struck with that with the Virgin Money Store, can you tell?
If you think about it as well, though, the kind of people that Jesus, you know, was first getting alongside, and actually that would be the perfect place where you would meet Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely, in the Parliament, in the artist studios, and it's really awesome. So, I mean, I suppose in one sense it's a bit of a daft question, but I still would love to hear your thoughts with it in terms of, you know, do you see that a way whereby art can help bring faith to people, bring that message? Because I mean, that's why I'm saying it's a bit of a daft question, because you are doing it. But also, what's the importance of having faith in kind of that, in the fringe or in the fringes in these cultural areas?
I suppose. I suppose from my perspective, having a faith in it just gives you this deep security that perhaps those who don't have a faith or who are seeking for a faith might not carry. And so you're speaking in a way that I do a great job with this. I don't always feel that I do. You know, I don't often always share anything particular about Jesus himself. I like the way that people feel when they look at art, and I like the way that people engage with text and words, and I do play around the topic of faith on social media and on my website, and I think people make that connection, and I could do a better job in other contexts. But I think as a Christian artist, there's that sense of I have the sense of not having to constantly strive for more. And so success is a good thing, but it's also a real dangerous thing, because when you get a taste of it, you want more of it. And then you can lose sight of what the heart of it all is that grounds you. So for me, I'm pretty serious about living that lifestyle. So there's always a little bit of an up and then a massive reality check of something. And I think God does that almost intentionally with me to keep me in that place to live out what I say. So yeah, I think I would say that's what faith does for me. It just keeps a level of I know who I am with art, and I know who I am without art.
And then with your work, you know, it's like it's not overt, but it's actually pausing. People are pausing. People are reflecting, and they then ask the questions, because we were thinking about that when we were recording our other podcast today. You know, the questions that and the challenges that people then are asking themselves. Mm-hmm. And so it's like you're presenting them with something that then makes them reflect and question and challenge, and perhaps causes them to, you know, to seek further.
Yeah. Yeah, I think maybe that's true. I think a general feedback is that, particularly on the way I use social media, people like a bit of honesty.
Yeah.
I think it's disarming, because of course it is a bit of a fake world. It is a bit, and I understand that. And I, you know, there's times that I do that, as we don't want to write the whole time that things are difficult or mm-hmm. or tricky. But I think people just connect with a bit of realness, and it makes them feel normal.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty hard to keep up fakeness. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. It's about that authenticity.
Yeah.
You were talking about earlier, mm-hmm. just that authentic living, a call to authentic living as well that we have as Christians. And that's if we are able to take that authentic living and that authentic faith that we've got and share it in the way that we are handcrafted with, mm-hmm. I think the world is a better place for it. So, you know, I know you're saying you might be able to do things better. You know, in one sense, I'm kind of going, yeah, but you know what? You're excelling with what you are handcrafted to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, that's one of the things that is worthwhile hanging on to, isn't it? For all of us.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But yeah, I was just, I was listening to something last week that said you can only do the bit you can do and God mm-hmm. will do the bit you can't.
Yeah.
And I suppose I just live by that.
No, oh, that's so good. Mm-hmm. I like that quote. That's good. Mm-hmm. Laura, you got a takeaway?
Oh,
I know. Try and sum up. What are we what are we taking away? I am just taking away massive.
I know, actually. I'm just saying.
It's like a tapestry. Painting in itself.
Yeah, and it's that. It's because that's actually, you know, it's because it's people, it's like people take what they need, mm-hmm. I think, from art. You know, and it's like what they need, and it's like, and I think if God's hand has been in that creation, you know, it's actually they are going to then take what they need, and it's like without having to tell them, you know, it's God's hand is in it.
Mm. The word for me is grace. That's what I'm sitting there going, I'm listening to you, and I'm just thinking about what we've been talking about, and I'm thinking, what I'm getting is grace. It's the grace of God. People mm-hmm. are looking at a work of grace which you have produced in partnership with God. Mm-hmm. And there's a grace there for people for whatever they see that it's left open for them and for open for God to move. And then there's this grace that's shown into the charities that you're using. But that's my impression that I'm getting from you, Linda, is that you're a person of grace, and you've got this outworking of grace that it just when you're talking about it, it feels as though it's effortless, because it's just who you are, it's who God's made you to be, and so it just flows. And I think one of my takeaways from that is actually this is this beautiful kernel that you are able to articulate for us and encourage us with, that actually each of us have that.
Yeah, absolutely. And whatever your particular thing is in life, might not be creativity, but I think when you invite God into something. So I've just been really, really recently like studying Bezalel in the Bible, the first artist, and the first person in the Bible that's spoken about being filled with the Spirit of God as an artist.
Yeah.
And how God himself, before he told us anything else about who he is, showed us his creativity at the start. Before we even know that we're loved and all of the stuff that comes with it, we're showing creativity. And then And I've been really delving into this story of how Moses is given this download of this is what the tabernacle's to look like. And he's probably thinking, whoa, I've done loads and this sounds totally overwhelming. And God says, it's fine. Like, I've got an artist in mind. And because he is a master in his craft, it says, I've filled him with the Spirit of God. And I think it's really spoken to me in do what you do and do it well. And then when God touches it, something comes from it that you could never expect. And so that guy is a master in his craft and then becomes the lead, I guess, what, project manager, artist of the whole tabernacle, the whole place that the Ark of the Covenant that hosts the presence of God all starts with the artist. And I mean, I don't know, I've heard loads of sermons on lots in Exodus. I haven't ever heard a sermon on the artist who created that whole space that we still talk about. And so I think for me, it's that whatever you do in life, whether it's creativity or teaching or whatever it is, when you invite God into it and his Spirit touches it, something happens that you just couldn't have orchestrated.
What an amazing gem to finish on. Oh my goodness, I love that. Absolutely love it. Thank you, Linda. Thank you for all your conversations, for that word at the end as well. That is really powerful. Just inviting God in and letting him work his wonders as we do what we can. That's just really, really strong and powerful. Friends, if you didn't quite catch what Linda said at the end there about the first artist in the Bible, rewind the podcast and listen to it again, because those words are so powerful, they're so good, they're so right and true, and I know they're going to encourage so many of us. So Linda, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Laura, thank you again.
Thank you. It's been just wonderful.
Yeah, brilliant having you on. And thank you, friends, for joining us here, Faith at the Fringe podcast, as we delve into that area of faith at the fringe and the place of faith in the fringes of life. So thank you.